Hey folks, Dan here, and if you're hearing this, you are in the Bracket podcast feed right now in August 2020 or possibly later, and you're probably wondering, why did this feed that stopped in February just suddenly update? Cullen, Jesse, and I have decided to start a new show. We've been working on it for about a month or so now, and we're pretty excited about it. And we recorded a pilot, sent it to a couple friends for some feedback. If you're one of those people who listened and sent us feedback, thank you so, so much. You helped shape what the future of the show is going to be. But we've decided to post this first run pilot that we did in the Bracket feed to let you know about this new show. Future episodes are going to be in a new feed for it, so you're going to have to hunt it down in the podcast client of your choice to subscribe for more episodes. The new show is called Setlist in Seattle, and you're about to hear it right here, right now. So if you like it or you just want to, you know, if you liked Bracket, you want to hear more, go search for it right now in the podcast of 2020. You worked really hard all year, and obviously this podcast graduation is not what you expected it to be. Just search for Setlist in Seattle. You'll find it, and please subscribe. And should I tell you about the show? I should probably tell you like at least something about what you're about to hear. Setlist in Seattle is a music ranking podcast recorded entirely inside a diner in Seattle, Washington. Every week we have a theme. We bring songs to match that theme. Sometimes we do bring guests. Guests are coming back in a big, big way. There's a magic jukebox. There's a crusty diner owner who really hates the fact that we do it. You're going to love it. Please enjoy this, whatever this is, and be sure to hunt down setlistinseattle.com, I think. Bye.
Here, I'm going to look up a bunch of diner names.
What about if the diner's called Turntables?
Oh my fucking God.
In restaurant, you got to turn the table.
I love that.
Two words.
Oh, really? I was thinking all one. Like all.
It could be one, but in my mind it was like
two. I'm thinking all one because of like a neon sign. Like
yeah,
it would keep the cursive running. Yeah. Like.
Okay. All right. You know what? Yeah, I'm into it.
Here's the thing. All we have to do is get as big as Riverdale and we can put this on a t-shirt.
That's it.
That's arguably, all we have to do.
Hey, arguably, we don't have to get as big as Riverdale to put something on a t-shirt.
Granted, wait, I want you guys to understand that all of this bit that you've created all came from the fact that Cullen just out of nowhere said, what about Setlist in Seattle? And then Dan said, I like that. And now we're making a fucking diner bit. So I just want you to know who's at fault.
You know, it's funny because we pitched this. We wanted to do something, but we kept pitching ideas that we're like all iffy about. And all of a sudden, it just was like, oh shit, click, 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 and it just kind of
because you said, made a dumb joke in response to me saying settle the set list. You said set list in Seattle,
which I guess is currently the name for this project.
That's it. No, I'm in.
That's it. Setlist in Seattle. Setlist in Seattle, recorded live from Turntables.
Recorded at Turntables Diner. This is Setlist in Seattle. I'm your host, Cullen Jennings, and with us we have Jesse Knowles.
Hey, that's me. Hello.
And
howdy,
Dan McKinney.
Yeah. Howdy, Jesse. Howdy, Cullen. Howdy do to you.
Hey, guys. Yeah, great.
I'm a cowboy this time. I figured this time I'm a cowboy. Wait, you know
this
what?
Time,
Bracket, he brought his cowboy out.
Hey, this Jesse. Time I'm the cowboy. I get to be the cowboy. Last podcast, you guys got to be the cowboy every time, but this time I get to be the cowboy.
I'm the cowboy this time.
This cowboy won't put any. He does not put hot sauce on his eggs at all, and I don't believe that cowboys can do that. Like I just don't believe it.
Huevos rancheros, no thank you.
We're sitting up here wearing Claire's section tonight. which, you know, this is a friend of ours.
Colin, this is new for us because we never record in person together. We have actually, we've met in person like once, but we've never recorded an episode of the podcast, at least all three of us together.
Yeah. Right, right. I think it feels a little bit different sitting in this booth, like that we're it like does. Kind of close, you know, like it's just curved. It's really nice. Like it's you know, yeah. You can tell this place has been here forever.
But it's been, it's a little bit of a walk. Like I remember when we met, like Cullen, you and I, you found this place first. I had never heard of Turntables before. It kind of seemed like a little off the beaten path, but I remember it was like Emerald City Comic Con or something.
Yep.
And yeah, I don't know. It's just it's a good place to just kind of sit and relax and get like no frills, just good quality grub. If people still call food grub,
they can. They
didn't
want.
since the Pirate Act of 1857.
And Jesse loves it because there's a kids menu.
I do love it. I do love the kids menu.
He likes to dip his chicken tendies. Yeah, he like takes his tendies in the ketchup. I see you. I see you.
So, but if you saw me, you would know I wouldn't be eating ketchup now, wouldn't you?
That's true. It's too spicy. So
what are we doing? I mean, first off, I love that we've all decided to fly out to Seattle to
I walked
turntables, but. Well, yeah, and boy, is her his legs tired, folks.
It was a big move, you know, for all of it, or for me. And I just really thought that Seattle seemed like the place. Like, you know, it's a big culture. There's a lot of tech out here. There's a lot of grunge stuff from back in the day. Like, I don't know. It just feels it's a gorgeous city. So
I'm not ready to commit. I'm just kind of commuting once a week. And
sure.
Right.
Yeah. Check it out.
Working for me.
Right. You know, because you might forget after a week.
Yeah, but your Airbnb is like right downtown. Like
it's right downtown. I have a good relationship with that. And like honestly, I'm paying $10.50 for a 2-bed right now back in Massachusetts. So I'm not really ready to pass that up.
Wait, $10.50, like $10.50
a month? Yeah,
yes, yes, $10.50. There's a coin shortage, man. We can't just give it out 50 cents.
Come on, Jesse. So what are we doing here? What is the point of this?
Well, I'm ordering food. I don't know what you chuckleheads are doing.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, like I said, I'm definitely getting food tonight. But
it's part of the deal. Like, I don't think they're just going to let us sit here for an hour and a half.
Right, right.
Well, I mean, if I ordered coffee, I think I'd be okay. But I'm not a coffee drinker.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get coffee. So, okay. Yeah. But no, I thought we would just kind of go like... You know, we did bracket for so long, and I was trying to think of some, you know, some kind of idea to get us together and really like put other stuff to merit and see what we could come up with. And
right after it was called the 2000s Blair Witch phenomenon by Forbes. You know, we said we should get back together.
I want you to listen back to that whatever not sentence that came out of your mouth after the 2000s Blair Witch phenomenon that wasn't.
If there was anybody near us right now, they would look at us and be like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
No, so we had a couple. Obviously, we had Suckdoku, and unfortunately, that didn't make the cut.
Yeah, Suckdoku never made it.
We had 23 Roberts. 23 Roberts was a show that had a lot of potential, I thought.
Yeah, no, 23 Roberts was going to be a blast.
Yeah, but we focus tested, and most people said it was too artsy. And
most people, you know, like really aren't into a lot of Roberts, believe it or not. So, like,
turns out.
In this post-2000s Blair Witch Forbes phenomena world, this is not for this avant-garde shit.
Yeah, no, it's just, and it's let's be real. We aren't very avant-garde, like, you know,
no.
You know, so it's harder for us to.
Yeah, and I don't even speak French.
So, like, he's getting in the quips. I like it. I appreciate it.
But the thing is, when we were talking about it, we just kept, Colin and I, and Jesse, I mean, I know this is like your first or second time here, but we thought about.
I'm definitely sitting feet firmly here in Seattle in this diner. This is the only place I've been in Seattle. Evidently, there's a whole city out there, but, you know.
Oh, well,
the
there's
diner,
C and then there's TAC. And you got to see TAC at some point.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, it's
just the vibe and just like listening to songs on the jukebox was such a cool experience where we could just like drop everything else going on in life and just like talk about like some good music that we really, really liked.
And this jukebox is like incredible. It has like hits from like all the way back to the 50s. Like it has all the jams, like anything that you've thought of, it's probably on that jukebox. So
we were like, what if every week we picked a theme and then every week all of us brought a song that fits that theme that we really, really love. And at the end of every episode, we added them to a master playlist and then ranked them.
Right. Cause you know, as anyone who's anyone will tell you, music can be objectively ranked. So let's obviously do that right now. Let's, you know.
Well, here's the thing. Everyone loves for everybody. For change. Everybody loves a list. A list.
Whoa. Uh-oh. What the fuck is this?
Uh-oh.
Cullen, excuse me. Hey, you want to tell me why a Circuit City fucking exploded all over my table?
Oh, fuck. Look, we were just... I didn't mean to make it like a big deal. I just wanted to put... I wanted to bring my friends here and show you this diner.
This wasn't going to be a big deal. You said in your email, you said it was just going to be a little setup once a week. And you've taken over the entire... All of Claire's section. Look, She's out sick tonight. I'm covering.
But look, Sal. Look, I promise this is not a big deal. It's just a couple microphones. We've got our laptop here. We're just recording this. I promise we're not going to get in any way... You know what? We'll order food in a minute.
Hope you're ordering food.
Okay.
You can't just use the Wi-Fi for free.
Okay.
To write your audio novel.
Wi-Fi's not fast.
Are we in Seattle anyway? Or are we in Jersey? Where?
Don't patronize Sal right now.
Don't fucking patronize me, new guy.
Don't patronize Sal.
I've seen him in a movie recently. Jesse, Sal.
He doesn't understand. He's new here. He's new to town. He hasn't seen Tack.
Yeah, he doesn't know. He is not the 12th man. He doesn't understand any of this.
Yeah,
like,
he's not the 12th. You gotta understand the fucking 12th man, Jesse. So help. That's me. Whoa.
Sal's the 12th man.
Sorry, like, I gotta take a lozenge in the back. My voice is all over the place tonight.
So look, we're gonna be fine. Sal's cool with it.
It's fine. It's fine. You can have an hour. Just order some fucking food. What do you want to eat?
I'm gonna go with shit. Come back to me.
Can I just get a 2 and 2? The 2 flapjacks, 2 eggs. Over easy.
I could go for some breakfast. Give me French toast. A little bit of toast and jam on the side. Gotta get all that bread.
You're gonna get toast and jam and French toast.
Let me clarify here. You want French toast, but then on the side you want dry French toast.
I want English toast.
You want.
He's not going to England. He's not going to England.
He's not going. We're not gonna.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jersey toast. Is that better?
Oh, Sal's going to kick your ass in here, Jesse. Please don't piss him off. He lets me record here. Do you know how many nights I've ended up here at 2 in the morning drinking nothing but black coffee and wondering why I can't go to sleep?
Okay. No. Cullen, it's fine. He's having a fucking tuna melt. This is a little sassy boy's having a tuna melt.
You know what? I want to get that burger you do, that really good burger, the one with the bacon and egg on it. Yeah, that's what I want. I want that breakfast sandwich.
Do you want a breakfast sandwich or do you want a burger with a bacon and egg on it?
I want that. That's what I want, Sal.
I hate you so much.
I just want a bacon and eggs on my burger. That's all.
Sal, I have never related more. And I'm so, so sorry that we are being so difficult right now.
He's always like this.
Wonderful establishment. Okay, all right. 2 and 2, 2 and a melt. Some sort of breakfast sandwich burger hybrid.
Now, when you say tuna melt, is that like you're putting tuna on a bread and then you're like really heating it up?
I will knock the shit out of you.
Am I just getting hot fish?
He's gonna just slap. You go down into the fish market down there and fucking just slap a whole fish.
I know it's impossible to believe.
Look, I can microwave my own catfish. All right, I'm
trying
need
to run a fucking business here, so I'm gonna go get your hot fish.
Sal, we got this. Thank you, Sal. Great.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, no problem. Anytime.
That's Sal, by the way. Sal is a little irritable, but he's a really good guy. He kind of welcomed me when I got here. So try, you know, he's like one of those really rough and tumble kind of guys that ends up being a big sweetheart, except for to you, because, you know.
Yeah, and hey, don't mind Cullen talking to you like he's an FMV game character and he's talking directly at the screen.
Wow. 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 Well, when right, you said FMV, you said FMV, and I'm thinking America's Funniest Home Videos, and that's what I ended up thinking of the whole time here.
The F is silent in America's Funniest Home Videos. all right.
So, yeah, we decided to pick some songs here and put them together and see what, like, you know, what we could come up with here.
Colin, why don't you tell them, so for this first episode to set things off, what's our theme?
We are going to do the best summer jams, our personal best summer jams.
Well, so who wants to go first?
I'll
go first.
Okay.
All right. Well, first, so
well, I guess we should
tell you about this.
Yeah. Totally forgot about
it. Do you want to tell everybody about them?
So,
do you want to talk directly at the camera and tell them about them?
Hey, people. So right across from us, right between, nestled between the actual like sitting bar and the restrooms, there's a beautiful jukebox sitting over there. And sometimes,
don't touch it.
Stop it, Sal. The jukebox sometimes basically feels like it comes to life, and it has a mind of its own, and it asks you what you
it's
want
to hear. It's a real Toy Story situation.
It's a real Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium.
It's, and they didn't, here's the thing, these two didn't believe me at first, but they figured it out. By
Toy Story 3, we were able to figure out what's going on here.
Juki's just a cool-ass jukebox, if we're being honest here.
Right on the front, it has a little label that says Juki. He's got his own name tag, basically. This is the best jukebox that ever existed in the entire world. And, but yeah, so, Juki is going to pick another song in our group tonight. And, Jesse, I guess, or Dan, if you want to go first, let's do it, man.
All right. Juki, play my song of the week.
Now playing Dan's song of the week, Usher featuring Pitbull, DJ Got Us Fallen in Love.
He's got such a way with words.
He does. He's like this, really good.
Just like this intro. So we
back in the instantly
those are
synth
gets
keyboards.
You ready for summer. From side to
side. Yeah, like Usher just knows enough to get you kind of be like, you know, I gotta get something. I gotta get that vibe going.
It's like got enough of a build to it, and there was no good part to like cut it off halfway through.
No, I totally agree.
I just had to play the whole damn thing.
Because what?
Because first you need to stop and marinate on how good ass that intro is. Because even
it's
just like those opening,
dun, it's dun, 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 and there's really that, the thing is in the composition. There's not a lot going on at all.
No,
like,
not at all.
No, it's a very simple song.
Mm-hmm. But yeah,
it, but like that fucking baseball stadium organ ass. Dun, 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 dun. It's honestly, to me, it's iconic. I know I'm sure there's millions of other songs that use it so well, but like just that synthy sound to me is DJ Got Us Falling in Love.
It's good synth. It's good. It's good instruments. They it's a good song. I mean, that's like all the best pop songs, right? Like have to have an air of simplicity to them in order to. Oh,
absolutely. But the here's the thing. A pop song is only rises and falls by its chorus.
No chorus.
Yeah, like
I'm just glad y'all were having fun.
He truly did though. So
Well, like some okay. I do take some umbrage with the fact that he wants me to dance like it's the last night of my life. And I'm not sure I'd be dancing on the last night of my life if I think.
Oh, see, I in theory, I think I probably would. At some point in that night, I would try maybe to salsa. I don't know, like just something a little bit different. Here's the thing. I also like songs that almost challenge you to be like, all right, you're going to hear this song. They're going to announce like last day on earth. Everything's blowing up tomorrow. And you're going to be like,
sure, yeah.
God damn it, Usher. Like, I like songs that are like telling me I'm going to do something. And now, it just happened to be dancing.
I will also bring up the fact that this is of these songs that we got that we were presenting today. This is the only one performed by an artist that happens to have a name that rhymes with the best fruit snack.
Usher.
Jesse's trying to start some shit right now.
He's trying to.
I'm not falling for it.
But I am falling in love with the DJ. I guess the DJ's falling in love with the DJ, but.
One, the DJ has cast a mesmerizing spell to make us fall in love tonight. And two, I want to go back to Jesse saying that he's not going to dance like it's the last night of his life. Are you, if I know for a fact that it's the last night of my life, I am guaranteed at some point, even without thinking about it, there's going to be a 30-second part where I dance to have a moment of just like kinetic movement and exploring the space, and it will look bad. It will be the worst you've ever seen in your life.
But you're gonna die.
I'm basically a pool noodle on a dance floor. Right. You guys have never seen me dance. It is so bad.
You can do the same thing with Ring Fit Adventure. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying it's the last night of your life. Like this is it. This is absolutely it. And you gotta fall in love one more time.
Yeah. The DJ says, I'm going to get you two to kiss one way or another with this
is
song.
Is that me and the dance? Or okay, okay.
Now, this is written by, this does feature vocals, or I don't know if it's written by, I actually don't know that, but it's performed by somebody whose name rhymes with one of the best candies out there. But it also is featuring Pitbull.
Mr. Worldwide.
Pibble? Mr. Worldwide. Pibble.
Stan.
Oh, I love that.
So I said Pibble. Do you want to fight about it?
Pibble actually did write his entire verse on this. Usher did not write a single line on this. So
and you can tell.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I don't think anybody wrote anything. So
would you like to hear it? I have it.
I would love to.
Hey, that's no evil. That covers it. And you just TiVo.
My life is a movie and you're just TiVo.
Okay.
Mr. Worldwide, as I step in the room, I'm a hustler, baby. That you knew, and tonight is just me and you. Okay. No, go ahead.
There's several points in there. One, life's a movie and you're just TiVo.
Now, this was 2010.
Right.
So
rage in 2010. And also, Call Me Mr. Call Me Mr. Flintstone, I Can Make Your Bedrock is a different song. Yabba Dabba Doo, I Can Make Your Bedrock.
But that's the thing is, that's the exact same line. Let's be real here. Exact same line.
Same damn thing. Somebody heard that line and was like, oh, I could make a whole song about it. That's a good...
Yep.
Call me Mr. Flintstone, I Can Make You Bedrock.
That's like how songs are written most of the time, is that they come up with one or two good lines and say, oh, yeah. Oh,
see, I was just thinking.
Also podcasts.
I was just I was thinking, I can be Barney Rubble and something about my tummy rumbling, and I couldn't make it work. I was really trying. It was a lot, and I'm sorry. But I had to say it. Like,
the important thing is that you tried and that you were honest.
I was really trying to put it together here. And
I'd argue he didn't really try so much as he pointed it out on the shelf and asked somebody else to put it together.
But he owned up to his mistake, and that's the important thing.
But what is... Okay, I don't know what it is. What is Dale?
Dale!
What is Dale?
So at the end he says, and it's just me and you, Dale. And I don't know, because I read it, it's spelled D-A-L-E, and I read it as, it says, I'm a hustler, baby, but that you knew. And I thought it was just me and you, Dale. Like, it was just... Like, look at the lyrics. It just says, and tonight it's just me and you, Dale.
Number three on the track, number one in our hearts, Dale.
So are you telling me that he is actually the DJ is making you fall in love with Dale Earnhardt again?
Right. Like, no, this, it means that this song takes place in the King of the Hill universe canon.
I'm in. I was in before, but I'm in.
Like, and that's a great transition. Juki with Jesse's Song of the Week.
Shut the fuck off.
Hey, hey, hold on real quick. I have to use the bathroom, like, for reals.
Okay, well, it's a good thing there's a public restroom here.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna go take a I'm gonna take a couple minutes. I'll be back.
Oh, it's a doozy of a toozy.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be quick, don't worry. Yeah, I'll be right back.
Okay, great. Well, Jesse, you and I could just sort of shoot the shit for a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, we're waiting on our food and all, so.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty, honestly, hey, I didn't want to say anything then. You were giving a lot of shit to Sal. You were giving,
He's used to it. Oh, Jersey Mike's used to it.
You cannot call him Jesse. You can't call him
His name's Jersey Mike to me. I don't know what his name is.
You can't get us banned from this place. We've really.
Oh, diners are a dime a dozen.
Listen, there's a million diners out there, but there's only one Juki.
Yeah, okay. All right, but if push comes to shove, I can move Juki. Hold on.
We are going to have to find another diner to record this podcast in and set up another universe.
What if...
So I don't know.
What if we got a podcast studio and built it up like a diner and didn't... And it was just open to the public. Now, the public couldn't order any food or anything because that requires us to make food and all, but they could just come in and sit if they wanted.
So it's just sort of a museum?
Yeah.
And interactive.
Just come in and hang out. Yeah, right, yeah. You come be a part of this week's episode of Setlist in Seattle.
In Tucson, Arizona, because we're run out of town. I got a bidet about a month or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta tell you, I really love it.
Everyone who's ever gotten one says the same thing.
It has an adjustable knob, right? And so it has, and you can like turn it all the way up, and it's got like 13, 14 different pips on there. But I will tell you, pip one is a light, pleasant trickle that like gracefully grazes you.
Okay.
Pip number two tears a new butthole into you. So
no in between.
No in between. And from I've talked to three other bidet owners now, all agree there's no in between.
All right. Okay. Now, approximately how much money would you have to be paid in order to go all the way to 14?
On it, I'm pretty like $10 I would do it.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right.
But like I would just like blast and then stop. I would get hit with that super soaker.
Yeah.
And then turn it off.
We're talking about bidets.
Oh, yeah. No, that's pretty cool.
They got a bidet in the bathroom, Colin?
No, not in this one. It's just a regular, you know, regular ass stall. Ain't nothing crazy about it. They've got two urinals and a stall in the men's bathroom. Okay. Nothing really big, but you know.
Yeah.
Okay, this is... You're acting very suspicious, but all right.
All right. So here's the thing. I know the world's a little crazy right now, but I like drying my hands with paper towels. I cannot stand using the air dryer thing. And they've got one of these damn air dryers here, and it just doesn't blow. Like it's the saddest, like it doesn't work. Like, and
have you asked if it's depressed?
all right, high five across the table. That was good.
Okay.
Have you considered, is that why you're looking, Cullen? What I mean to ask with all of these half sentences is the blow dryer not working, the reason that the front of your shirt and pants looks like a first grader didn't make it to the bathroom.
Oh, no, I pissed all over myself. No.
Oh, that's
that, those are.
Gotcha. It's not just wet hands that you wipe.
Oh,
gotcha.
Okay. Yeah.
No. I guarantee my hands are wet, like on top of that. But like, yeah, definitely.
Great. Yeah. So back to DJ Gotta Fall. The one thing I want to. There's that last final chorus.
Okay.
Usher goes, there's not a lot going on in the song, but Usher goes all the way in. Run there, he does.
Right.
Tonight, that's some fucking Elphaba wicked defying gravity shit. He's ever gonna bring me down. And I know that makes no sense to you, but that's fine.
Sure. Do you remember the video for this by any chance? Because I was just looking up clips of it. That thing is wild. Kind of boring. Like if you just played me the video, but the song bangs. It's just a fun song. But I know that I know people didn't like this song as much only because like they thought it was kind of simple. You know, a little
sure,
too simple
to, oh
for Usher. Yeah, like oh my god. Also in the video, Usher likes to crump. And I support crumping, so I just it's really good.
The last thing I'll say, and then I'll put this to bed, is that Usher does thank the bus driver.
Thank you, DJ.
Okay, yeah. big on Fortnite, this song.
I didn't thank the bus driver, but that I usually take to get here. But I'm now that's going to be like my thing. I can always walk home from here, but I'm definitely just going to start thanking the bus driver. But I'm going to thank and be like, Usher said thank you.
Usher said, hey.
Happy Easter, Xbox.
Usher sends his regards.
It's like everybody's in like a John Wick world where they all know they're all killers, but they're all just hired by Usher. And that's the new movie.
All right. Let's go next.
I can go, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't have as much to say about my song as you do, but.
That's fine. We don't need to.
It's cool. I picked No Diggity by Blackstreet.
Well,
featuring Dr. Dre.
Well, geez. Well,
you should have let Juki introduce your song.
Yeah, Juki. You asked Juki. You say, hey, okay. Juki, play.
No,
play,
I don't trust machines.
God.
Oh, my God. We can't. Fuck. We're going to get. Colin, I said this when you left for the bathroom. He's going to get us kicked out of this diner.
He's not. Sal's going to be cool with it. Just be cool. Just everyone be cool. Let Juki talk when he wants to talk. Juki, hit me with it, dude.
Now playing Jesse's song of the week, Blackstreet, No Diggity.
Where's Dre? Yeah.
You know what?
Juki tried his best.
Juki
tried so goddamn hard for you.
You couldn't get Juki to say Dre, could you?
I didn't make Juki do anything.
Dr. Dre.
Beep, 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 boop, short again. Oh, sorry. But it's going down face of
Black Street. The homies got I mean collab creation. It's hard.
Okay. I love the version with Dr. Dre. Like, I absolutely love it because a lot of radio time they won't play this. Clear Channel like completely pushed this off. Like they wouldn't let that part happen.
What do you mean they won't like
they wouldn't allow, they thought it was too hard of an edge for a song. Which is really funny because, you know, No Diggity, but like it's really a simple, stupid ass song, and
it's a very simple song.
They were worried that Dr. Dre was too hard at the time. It's 96, so Dre was still like a scary guy, and
right, because NWA was still pretty recent
at that time. I mean, definitely, but I mean he had already done The Chronic, which is like one of the biggest albums of the 90s. And Dre was like a hard ass dude, and he's a great producer. So everyone was like, I'll get, if I can get Dre on the song. And then they, like, the guys, I was reading this that almost none of the guys wanted to do the song. It was only one of them that was like, please, guys, let's do this song. And they were all very anti this song, 100%. So they finally, like, they gave him to him and let him do it. Evidently, the song was originally offered to Tupac.
Oh. Sure.
Yeah, and they said, Suge Knight said, hell no. So that's there's a little bit more bad blood there. That's why Dre did it, which is really like fucking awesome. Like,
and hey, I would argue Dre still scary.
Oh, like, no. Dr. Dre is still terrifying. Yes.
There's maybe 2 to 3 people that I'm truly scared of. One is Sal and the other is Dre.
tell us, Jesse, why did you pick No Diggity?
So I happen to think that this is... So, I mean, yes, it's a very simple song. Kind of repetitive if you're not into it. But if you're into it, boy, does it hit good. It's got maybe one of the most walkable, like, beats
It's got a swagger.
This is one of my favorite songs to just walk around listening to.
I hope you're walking in Target like for like an hour.
Oh yeah, it's always Walmart. It's always Walmart and Target. That's what I'm doing.
Just looping, walking around Target. I like to get on a plane and just put this on, and as soon as I get off, I'm getting that good like bounce and drag.
But I mean, like, the production of it's like genuinely really good. Like, between obviously the beat is good, but like those like really low piano notes that end off like different sections of the song, and even the ow, like that little clip is just sonically very pleasing. It's just, it's a very nice song to listen to. Also, he says, go ahead.
It was a Bill Withers song. Like, that was an original Bill Withers song. Like, it's, yeah, Bill Withers fucking rules. Well,
I did not know that.
That's some stuff, but yeah.
Go figure.
Love is it gum. So freak what you heard.
And that group O at the end is so good. Yeah.
Also really like that in the chorus, he says, I like the way you work it. And then they say, no diggity. He says, I'd like to bag you up, like,
like put you. He's gonna put bag, a per- like,
he gonna put you in a giant ass bag. He's gonna carry you off in a sack.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
He's got a bag of holding. He's got a roll for initiative. Huge fan of D&D.
Just thinking, I've been playing a lot of Bloodborne recently, and I'm just thinking about them big bag enemies.
Guys? They're my favorite enemies in that game.
I'm about to get grabbed up by this song.
So now, Jesse, you think you pick this song? Mm-hmm. I just am very curious, Jesse. Did you pick this song because it's featured prominently in Pitch Perfect, your favorite movie?
I have never seen. Okay, so I've never seen
all
Pitch
of
Perfect,
the credits of Pitch Perfect. Yeah, we know.
Did Juki mess up? Did he mean to play the Anna Kendrick version for you? Is that the one you wanted? Juki, start it again.
So, before I picked this, Cullen was giving me shit because my original pitch for Summer Jam was Phil Collins' Sussudio. Personal Summer Jam. But also, like, yeah, I could probably talk more about Sussudio because I recently watched a certain scene from American Psycho featuring Phil Collins' Sussudio.
And what did I say? I said don't let him bully you, not off mic. That's what I said.
Yeah, sure,
Mike has nothing to do with this. He is just a friend.
He's just a friend.
Did not know that song was featured in Pitch Perfect.
Okay.
That's one of your favorite movies, right?
Jesse continues to lie. Yeah. While you continue to lie about this. Hit us with that big fat verse from Queen Pant. That's my peeps, and we rose deep, flying first class from New York City to Black Street. What you know about me?
Now I love that part. Frame,
yep. Yep. Shorty. As for me, icy gleaming pinky diamond ring. We bees to buy this click up on this scene. Ain't you getting bored with these fake ass broads?
High shows and proves, no doubt. I've been thinking so. This goes on for a while.
That's like, so
a huge verse.
So here's the thing. Did you clip the last part of that verse? by any chance?
We'll just have to another 20 seconds if we got it. I mean, I got the time. You got the time?
Yeah, because the ending to this. So before we get there, the ending to this, I think, is more powerful than the entire song. The ending to her voice is so, or her verse is so fucking good that it makes the whole song for me. Excuse if I come across rude, that's just me. And that's how a player's got to be. Say you kick your chain with a capital G. Ask the peoples on my block, I'm as real as can be. Word is born, faking moves never been my thing. So Teddy, pass the word to your and Chauncey. I'll be sending a call and say around 3:30. Queen Pen and Black.
That whole build, and the
crossover right there with Aaron Hall like coming in real hard, like, oh, it's so good.
It's a good group. It's just like a good ensemble piece.
I also like that she says, I'll be sending the call, let's say, around 3:30. In the middle of the night, Queen Pen, you got to chill the fuck out. You need to go to bed.
Go to bed, Queen Pen. It's a good, Jesse, I'm sad you didn't pick Susudio. But I am glad that you did pick No Diggity because it is a good summer jam.
Don't worry, I have an ocean of words to say about Phil Collins.
A Billy Ocean, if you may.
A Billy Ocean. Oh. No, and like, I mean, the other thing is, like, as simple as the
tune melt for the sassy boy. Tune him up for sassy boy.
It is a melted hot fish. It's liquid.
Don't call my tuna melt a fondue. Two and two.
Now, Shut up.
Colin, we kind of did a little powwow back at the kitchen. We couldn't really figure out if you wanted a burger, if you wanted a breakfast sandwich.
Okay.
Or what like a combination between the two would be. Okay. So here's what we ended up doing. I think you're really gonna like it. We ended up taking a morning bun.
Okay.
And we slice that in half, kind of horizontally.
Okay.
And then we loaded that up with 3 eggs.
Oh.
A very thin burger.
A baker's quarter dozen, as they say.
Okay.
I wasn't really shut up. Jesse, don't. Jesse, just shut your fucking mouth, man.
Just let him get to the point.
You said you wanted a burger, so we didn't do a sausage patty. Instead, we did a very thin burger patty. I didn't want to give you a quarter pound on there because, again, there's 3 eggs on there. I don't want to fucking kill you. And then we did a little hollandaise on there. So I guess that's technically at least 4 eggs.
That's like one of my favorite songs by Weezer.
And then there's a side salad on the side.
Okay. I can dig with this. I can do this.
All right. Thanks a bunch. Can we... Do you mind? I hate to ask, but can we get some coffees for the table? Oh, yeah, sure. Coffee for the table. So.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Enjoy your fucking fondue.
Thanks, Sal.
Jesus. Jesse, don't fuck this up for us, man.
He's over there slamming shit. Just let it go.
There's a million. Hey, Jesse, like we talked about, there's a million diners. There's only one Juki. So just be cool, okay?
Yeah, and there's only one Sal.
But.
Colin, you want any salt?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
All right. Jesse, heads up, Jesse was licking the rim of the ketchup bottle, so maybe
that's fine. That's fine. I'll use it.
Oh, wait, guys. Real quick.
Hey, Sal.
No, this is fine. It's peace offering. Peace branch. Listen, I had the weirdest dream, and I just need to, like, I know this is gonna sound like completely out of left field, but I really just wanna, like, be crystal clear with you guys and make sure we're on the same page. If there was, like, luckily there's not, but if there was, say, a horrible pandemic that could have been easily prevented had anybody stepped in at any point in time.
Okay. If
we would not all, if that happened, which thankfully it hasn't.
No.
We would not all be sitting in this diner together, right? Like, you wouldn't be sitting inside my... At most, you would be sitting outside.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah,
no.
Totally, dude. Right. Honestly, we'd probably be wearing masks, too, because it's the right thing to do.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm so glad. First off, thank goodness that hasn't happened in this universe. I just want to make sure... I'm just kind of asking everybody in the restaurant today about that. I don't know. It's something that's like...
Gotcha, wigged out. Yeah, I get it.
Hey, man, anything can happen, hey, you know?
Hey, I'm trying to be friendly.
Shut the f-
Jesse. Hang on, let me drink my sandwich.
Sounds good.
He left. He just left. Just,
He's so goddamn mad. You can see how red he is in the back of his neck.
First and last episode of Setlist in Seattle.
God.
Recorded here.
God.
Get his ass.
Colin, before you tear into that burger sandwich, do you want to talk about your song?
Yeah, man. Juki, let's hear it.
Now playing Colin's song of the week. Len, Steal My Sunshine.
Hey, can you pass the salt?
Yeah. It's okay. That's an assault. Yep. That's an assault charge.
Here you go.
The salt costs, man.
Jesse, you're going to take the salt or not?
Dude.
Okay, yeah, that's all
right. It's right. Just God. He holds it like out like you're not going to see it or something.
Hey.
I haven't really talked to him, but
yeah.
It's pretty
Hold on a second.
Yeah, well, maybe we should cheer him up then. What do you suppose we should do? Well, does he like butter tarts?
Should we get Sal some butter tarts?
We should definitely get Sal some butter tarts. Len, Steal My Sunshine, the long version, not even the radio version. That's wild because, you know, this is one of those songs that like it has those little bits in it that if you listen to the whole version, you're like, okay, this doesn't add really anything to it, but it's a whole 30 seconds extra. And it does something like if you're familiar with Semi-Charmed Life by Third Eye Blind, does the same kind of thing. They take like an entire chunk of that song out of the song to play for radio edits. And I don't think this song is hindered or hurt by adding it or taking it away. So I like when I get to hear this.
I would argue it hurts by having it. I think the beginning's a little bit much.
The other stuff in it with Sharon, I really like that stuff. So,
but also like, what's the butter tarts about?
They never tell you about
Dan,
the butter tarts.
I don't know. I don't know if you know this, but the album that song is from features them in a really weird and off kilter comic book style. So maybe I'm starting to think they don't really give a fuck.
I'm starting to think that it's just piecing it all together as they go, which is fine.
Maybe they're just being weird and quirky.
Well, which is funny because they really are. The lead guy like totally made this band up. Like he had put out albums with other people and never had anybody like else. And Len was not him and his sister. And it was just a bunch of random ass people and him.
Oh,
and
I thought it really was his sister.
No. It is his sister, but she's not in the band. So Len had been in a band before this.
It's Steal My Sunshine featuring Len's sister.
Basically, yeah. He got her to come and do this song with
him. No. Because I know one other song by Len, and that's because I had the VHS copy of Digimon the movie,
yeah.
And they had a cover of Kids in America, and that's how I heard of Len.
Yep. So they did one album with her.
The Digimon original movie soundtrack.
Fuck yeah. We could do a whole episode on that.
And she's a primary, if not the primary vocalist on that track.
Yes.
So how is she? What are you saying?
Okay. Huh? So basically that was the only album she was really featured on. They tried to put out an album after that with her, but the guy was so fucked up the whole time. Like, evidently, this was a stroke of genius. This song was an entire...
Oh, it's a stroke.
Pure, like, random thing. Wow. And you've all seen the video. I know you've seen the video.
No, I have not. I have
You're
not.
You're lying. Oh, my God. So,
Jesse, Colin, you severely underestimate how little I know about things.
Oh, no, Jesse. All right. So, I'm going to tell you a little bit. We can keep going with the song. I don't want to go over the chorus, but so basically the brother, the main guy in Len, Mark, basically went over and over and over to the studio and was like, I don't like that video idea. I don't like that video idea. I don't like that video idea. We've got a hit here. Let me do what I want. So they gave him $100,000. And Yeah, his nickname is the Burger Pimp, and he went
to
Florida, mm-hmm. and they filmed absolutely nothing but stupid shit.
His alias while being a director being Burger Pimp with his friend Bradley Walsh, aka B period Rad.
Yeah, like gotta
be very clear about that part of
you
the story.
You are not. This is
it's dude,
swear
it's
to God, Jesse.
Fucked up. This is yeah, fucked up. This yeah, it's fucked because, up that like, you're lying the, to me like this.
Part of their contract was like, fine, we can direct our own music videos. And so they went to fucking
was it Palm Daytona Beach?
Daytona?
Yeah.
Daytona Beach. They went to Daytona Beach with a $100,000 budget. And what did they spend almost all of that budget on?
Booze. Just so Jesse. They flew all of their friends from Canada, mind you, all the way down there just to do this video.
Such a power move to then, and they, Jesse, they bought so much alcohol that they broke the hotel's elevator with the weight of the alcohol in the
Jesus
elevator.
Jesus Christ.
They would drink at night, be hungover in the morning, and then in the afternoon, just like drive around in go-karts and film the video.
Look, just play the jam and pull that thing out and watch that. I mean, you got a phone. You can watch the video, you know?
It's
for me. If you steal my sunshine, making sure I'm
this is some walk around Target music.
It definitely plays at your local Kroger or something. Like,
if the barrier to entry is to a summer jam is walking around Target listening to it for an hour. This checks all the boxes.
That's the thing. Like, this was summer of 1999. Like, this was a time where anything goes. That was the wildest year on record, as far as I'm concerned. And for music, I absolutely love 1999. And this was one of those songs that just made the summer for me. I listened to the song every time it came on. I didn't care how many times a day they played it. I listened to it.
So I got a question, since you're such a big Lynn head.
Okay.
What's up with that guy's voice?
I mean, he's just fucked up, man. He's literally just drunk and high all the time.
They wrote this song after he went to a rave.
Yeah. There's nothing there. And all the vocal parts where they're like talking about Sharon and like the butter tarts, none of it is a thing. Like, it's all
right.
Impaired my tribal lunar speak, man. You know?
A real artist.
Thing. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, figure that one out, Sigmund Freud. More like Sigmund Fraud.
So,
yeah. Keep bursting on my feet. He doesn't want to fall for it again, man. He doesn't want to have to go through that shit again. He knows what he wants.
I mean,
you know. Also, the best part of the song is Sharon's voice, or Sharon's verse in general. And she does have my favorite line in all of music history.
Is that the female vocalist, Sharon?
Right here. Yeah. Slide it. Here it is right here. Best line in history.
That's your favorite
best
part?
Line in history. And then my sticky paws were making straws of big slurpy treats. Nothing makes sense that she says. She is literally just saying words.
She spells out the word later because she didn't have enough words to fill out.
Absolutely. And
that's really funny.
But the thing is, what blows my mind is because she spells it out, and the next verse has the most words in any sentence. My sticky paws were into making straws out of big fat slurpy treats. What
the
fuck
are you
talking?
That was actually cut from the. That was actually on the cutting room floor of the Bare Necessities from the Jungle Book.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right.
Bill Murray said, "Uh-uh, I don't want to do that."
It says, "Okay, here's a here's a quote actually from Mark Costanzo, the vocalist. The Lynn Project was supposed to
he was great on Seinfeld.
The Lynn Project was supposed to annoy people, but then suddenly we were rock stars. It was really amazing, but fame freaks you out. When people used to come up to me in the street and say, I thought they were trying to fight me. but they just wanted to tell me how much they loved my song. I love the fact that Money was great and there are a lot of girls, but to sit there afterwards and think, what's next? How do you top that shit? I don't want to top it. That really messes with your mind a little bit. We had had a lot of fun, but it was like baking a cake and suddenly the whole world was loving you for it. That man has absolutely no clue what he's talking about.
He is so gone.
He is so fucking just so dead to the world. Like, I don't know.
Look, I can't deny that both, like, they are very unique vocalists. But
oh yeah, it's entirely
like to
the point
where you would almost expect him to have another song that would be like, okay, yeah, I mean, not as good as the first, but this is pretty good. No. Right.
No, they didn't. They never came back from that one.
Well, this is like some Wikipedia-ass story, so keep in mind that in mind. But what I read was that he wrote this song after going to a rave and waking up and feeling bad about it, okay. And thinking about his sister Sharon that he hadn't talked to for months. They were not on speaking terms at the time, and he wrote the song, and then they did the song, and they recorded it on an old 8-track, and it just, like, sat under a bed for years.
That's right. No one wanted it. It was, like, in a box.
Like, this was the biggest con. The fact that Len made any money is, honestly, hats off to them for figuring out how to get money out of the machine, because they shouldn't have. All of it was against them.
Everything was against him, but Len survived. Now,
I do want to ask you about one particular part of the song. I don't think they did. Cullen, I do want to ask you about one particular moment of the song.
Okay.
Now this is at the end of the track.
Okay, so this was on only the album edit. That shit's so terrible. But that invented rap rock. So, without that, we would never have Limp Bizkit. So, I mean, this is important. It was important to the culture, you know?
This is... damn. Wow. Imagine a universe.
Imagine a universe where Limp Bizkit was the greatest band. Limp Bizkit.
Hot dog flavored water.
Hot dog.
I love the hot dog flavored water.
Maybe it's Digimon's fault that I associate Len with Angela Anaconda, but
okay,
you know.
You need to stop. I know,
like,
what you're
that's
doing.
Actually,
I know,
that's actually my song. I wasn't thinking about. I know I nominated DJ Fallen in Love, but My Name is Angela. Hey, hello, welcome to my very own show. Was going to be my summer jam.
Everyone,
oh, Jesse, it's Ninny Poo.
Everyone in here is looking at us like, "What the fuck are you? Why are y'all? Why? What are you doing?"
Eat your food. Anaconda? Fuck off. I can't say that Lynn's "Steal My Sunshine" isn't a card that you can play in drop mix.
True, you would know.
All right,
I would know that.
Yeah, Jesse, how do you feel about Harmonix taking your drop mix cards and turning them into an online video game that doesn't have a physical component and doesn't use drop mix cards?
No one knows what that is.
So anyway, what's Juki's song?
No one knows. Yeah, is Juki got a jam, man?
So, of course, you know, every once in a while, we do like to ask Juki to contribute to the conversation. Now, Juki does have access to thousands of songs, the parameters of which are completely unknown. They're completely foreign. But what we do know is that they are almost certainly from the Billboard Top 100 for the years from 1955 to 2020 at this point.
19. Mm-hmm. No, I haven't included anything from this year.
Right. Once 2020 happens, he will definitely be nominating Rain On Me by Lady Gaga. But until that point in time, Juki picks a song at random. And sometimes Juki gets it right, and sometimes Juki gets it super wrong. But either way, just a jukebox trying his best.
Okay.
He's a real hero. As
Juki.
Now,
Juki, let's hear that jam.
Now playing Juki song of the week, Wham, I'm Your Man.
Yeah! Oh my god.
I'm
Juki.
Dancing in the booth, y'all.
Oh my god, right? We're gonna rock this thing.
Everyone in the diner Yo, everyone just got up and started dancing.
All like Sal's eight of us. In yeah. The Sal, look at Sal. Look at Sal.
Look at him go.
Sal, I know you're feeling
like
it.
Years.
Oh, man.
Ain't a person, ain't a soul got a bad word to say about George Michael in here.
So this song was released right after, it was the last single, or is the next single after Last Christmas. And yeah. it was like right after the Andrew Ridgeley stuff started, like starting to be like a little contention, and where George Michael started taking off a lot of just him in general. Like he just started taking
Andrew
off
Ridgeley
way bigger
being the other member of Wham.
Of Wham. Yep. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. I speak like I know that everybody knows that.
Right, but you forget that if you look at the demographic numbers, our audience is in diapers. So we do need to just kind of clarify those things.
It's very true. It is very true. But man, what a good song, Juki. That's a really good song.
It's not one of my favorites from Wham, but it's pretty good.
I think anything on anything on Make It Big right. by Wham is a yep. perfect song. But this is after that, but I'm still into it. I still really like this song.
Can we get the chorus?
Yes, please. Juki, hit us.
Wait, no, Juki, put that down. Stop.
No, Juki, no, Juki, please. Don't get up. Don't get up. Get up. Please, please.
Every time it comes on, I'm dancing over here.
Oh man, that song is good.
It's a toe tapper, and every time the clip stops, I want it to desperately keep going.
It's what a good song.
The last song they performed together live, very last song before Wham broke up.
Yep. And they're not gonna do a reunion. Not anytime soon.
Not?
I don't think. I don't.
I would assume.
I don't think Andrew Ridgeley wants to do it. You know. I just think he's out of the whole.
Oh,
way.
George Michael's
just a real stick in the mud.
George was pressing for it. Yeah.
Right. George Michael said we should do a Wham reunion,
but he hadn't said anything about it for years at this point. So.
Yeah. So might not happen.
So. Oh man.
We found a note taped to the back of Juki saying, "Andrew just won't do it," and it was initial GM.
General manager. The general manager, Juki's general manager, said,
"Cullen is so broken that he only talks in franchise speak."
He's not wrong.
He checks into a hotel and they give him the key, and he's like, "Huh, regional manager 207. All right."
He's not entirely wrong. Again, I don't think anything's bad about that, okay? Sometimes you just...
Let me just slide something. Into your district managers.
Nice. So, where do you guys think these go? Like, if we were going to put these in an order, where do you think we go with this?
I don't want to move off of I'm Your Man just yet.
Okay, okay.
Because there's a lot to this song, besides the toe tapper.
Well, okay.
Like, okay,
here's the problem. It does get a little creepy. There is a little bit of creepiness to it.
You mean the whispers at the end?
Yes, that is very creepy, but it doesn't help it. Yeah, do this. Guys, you can have mine. I ain't asking for
no sacrifice. Baby, our friends do not need to know. What?
I've got a real nice place to go.
This is the part where it starts to sound like a Genesis game.
I don't like the line that he says, "I'll be your boy, I'll be your man, I'll be your first,
why
I'll
not?
Be your
What's
last.
Wrong with it?
I'll be your friend. I'll be hey guys. I'll be
so
your friend,
actually,
and I'll be your toy."
Hey, Colin. I'm gonna play another. I'm gonna play another clip of it that
accentuates
your point.
Okay. Don't throw it.
Gonna do do it right.
I'll be your last. I'll be the only one that you ask. I'll be a toy.
Oh. Hey, I've been meaning to ask this from people for some time now, but why songs so horny?
Well, they're horny, and the line that it faded out there was, "I'll make you rich, I'll make you poor, just don't what? Use the door." I'm going to refer to a couple lyrics before this as well.
Wait.
What do I have to say to you to get you to leave this lot in this car?
So earlier in the song, he says, "So good, you're divine. Want to take you, want to make you, but they tell me it's a crime." So like everybody knows where the good people go, but where we're going, baby, ain't no such word as no. George, that's... you have to chill out. All right,
George. Like, George. There's a thing called consent, my man.
I think Andrew was right. And he called the general manager on him and said, "We're not doing this anymore, man."
I'll be your boy. I'll be your man. I'll do whatever.
Right? Maybe George was saying, like, this is all the stuff that Andrew wanted to do to keep Wham still alive, you know? Did you ever think about that?
I never thought about it. You got me there.
See? I think about things. Deep things. Andrew Ridgely
things. See things from another perspective.
How can we possibly rank these?
These are four good entries. So just to recap, we have Jesse's submission of No Diggity by Blackstreet, Dr. Dre, Queen Penn. We have Steal My Sunshine by Len, submitted by Cullen. We have DJ Got Us Fallen in Love by Usher, featuring Pitbull. And we have I'm Your Man by Wham, featuring Juki.
Well, now that it's I know tough. That George Michael will kill me, I kind of want to put it at the, I don't know. It's such a good banger, though. It's a good bouncy song.
Well, so here's the thing. We have to keep this in mind. This is the first episode. Whatever goes on the top and whatever goes on the bottom isn't officially really the best or the worst. It's just currently at the top or at the bottom.
I think
it is officially the best and the worst, though. I think, listen, I feel 1,000% comfortable saying that. Ooh, I don't feel comfortable, actually. I'm going to back off of that one. This is really tough to say which one's the worst.
All right. I got a tentative order for you.
Okay. All right.
And you guys can tell me. Because, I mean, here's the thing. When we decide these lists, bias is going to come out regardless. So that's why we got multiple ones of us to keep us all in check here.
We should have.
I got you. So you're saying we should build a bracket.
Right. Yes, of course. And so at the top, let's say, what if we got in order, No Diggity, DJ Got Us Falling in Love Again, the Wham song that I am currently blanking on the title of, thank you, I'm Your Man.
Wow, I'll be your man. Lynn at the bottom.
And then Lynn Steal Your Sunshine
you have no
at the
taste,
bottom.
Cullen.
No, I'm don't saying disagree. That in particular. I'm just saying that, like, it's Wham and it's Lynn.
I mean,
I'm just saying.
Here's the thing.
It's George Michael and it's Sharon is what I'm saying.
Sharon, I love you.
It started to get a little Aussie.
It did. You didn't know, same person.
But Ozzy I could see Osbourne, No Diggity going down. Letters, Len.
I think as a summer jam.
Well, okay, but we're not ranking as the topic. We're ranking as best song.
This is
regardless. Whatever next week's theme is, it's all the same list.
Yeah.
I
don't think No Diggity is the top of the list.
Okay.
Don't think No Diggity's at the top. I think it's good.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I think it's Lynn. I think it's Lynn, Wham.
Wow.
Usher. No. It's Lynn, Wham, No Diggity, then Usher. And the only reason I put Usher at the bottom is because if I heard it on the radio today, it's going to kind of pique my interest, but I don't know if I make it through the whole song. But I also don't think I would listen to all of No Diggity unless it has the rap parts.
I don't think, I kind of agree with Cullen's rankings, but I would swap I'm Your Man and Steal My Sunshine. So I would do number one is I'm Your Man, number two is Steal My Sunshine, number three is No Diggity, and number four is DJ Got Us Fallen in Love. And I, that's
wow.
A, that, listen, DJ was my submission. But,
right.
But Juki did a good job.
Juki came in hot, so
I'm okay with that list. I'm just confused as to why you think Steal My Sunshine is better than both No Diggity and DJ Got Us Falling in Love Again.
I think it's
That's a great point, actually.
So here's the thing. Usher, number one, of Usher songs, it's probably one of the weakest Usher songs. It's a banger, but it's probably one of the weakest Usher songs. My Way kills it 1,000 times over.
Oh, yeah, that classic Sinatra song, right?
Yeah, right? That's exactly what I thought.
Oh, my God. You guys don't know Usher. No, but like, the thing...
And through it all, when there was doubt.
No Diggity is one of those songs that...
I did
that,
it my way.
I did it my way, not your way, my way. Dolly.
So I don't know. I don't feel that. I think that No Diggity feels.
It's not as much of a bop.
Right. It's a like, good song. And the reason I think that's the thing is like, the thing is Blackstreet was around for years. They also had two other artists in this song and Teddy Riley wrote the beat. So like, for me, it feels like there's a lot more going on in that song of like power that didn't that did its success, but also kind of got left in that 90s wave. DJ Got Us Falling in Love Again. The issue with that again is like it's just not as it's a really fun Usher song, but like you would if you're playing that if you're gonna pick an Usher song for a wedding, you're gonna put Yeah. Like you know what I'm saying? There's no, you know, maybe not Confessions. But then I'm Your Man is probably the number one list on the song or on our list here. It should probably be number one, even though I think that Steal My Sunshine had, like Dan said earlier, it had so much against it. It literally has no star power. We have George Michael, Usher, and Blackstreet with Dre, and you're going up against Lynn, who had literally, like Dan said, no chance in hell.
I can see it purely as like a flash in the pan, like Lynn created something like, it's one of those one-hit wonders, right? Like
absolutely,
like all the classic bands that you only know because of that one song, and never did they never did anything else worth talking about,
right?
Like what was that,
that one song?
Yeah, like that one.
That's Baja
My Boys. Way, My Way by the Fall Out Boys.
Yeah.
One way and one more time. Thanks for the
minute. Hell yeah. Turn up some of that Blair Witch 2004.
Thank you. The sweeter.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm going to put Wham at the top. I'm going to take Lynn with Steal My Sunshine. I'm going with Backstreet or Blackstreet. And then I'm going with DJ Fallin' in Love. That's my final vote.
I'd be okay with that. I'm mostly concerned that like because like the one thing I will say about DJ Got Us Falling in Love Again is that like it's the poppiest of the four. It's the one most people would like. I think personally.
See if
it's the easiest one to enjoy.
You know the thing that most people liked didn't never stopped us before.
That's true.
That is very true.
Jesse has me thinking though.
Okay.
Uh huh.
Part of my aversion to like putting No Diggity towards the bottom of this list is because for me it's a little overheard at this point,
right?
For y'all,
especially given Anna Kendrick's version, which is just phenomenal, folks. If you really you've got to check out Pitch Perfect.
Okay. Check out Jesse's review of Pitch Perfect on his YouTube channel. Kendrick lover, I got nothing.
Sup Pitches is Jesse's channel.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Nice.
Sup Pitches is. Oh, I'm a big Pitch Perfect head.
Sup Pigeons.
I love them a cappella folks.
Jesse's recap show, Here's the Pitch, where he has been rewatching all three Pitch Perfect movies on loop for the last 3 years.
It's called Pitch Please. Thank you very much.
Not giving you any of this.
So I think, like,
move,
I could do
pitch,
I'm Your Man.
Get out the way.
Find another word that rhymes with pitch.
It's such a low-hanging fruit. You can't not expect me to do it. It's just right
you
there.
You know, you could do, like, a Kim Possible, what's the pitch?
Right.
I'm not a tall person. I have to get the
gotta get that fruit, man.
I gotta get that fruit.
Stinky low hanging
fruit. I played
Pac-Man.
I know how this works.
On the ground.
Waka waka waka.
The whole tree is bending over by how low that fruit is.
God. Okay.
All right. I could do I'm your man, no diggity, steal my sunshine, DJ got us falling in love.
I still think Lynn's higher. Again, the star power with no diggity just proves that. The thing is, and that's how a player got to be. Stay kicking game with a capital G. Act the real of the lock. That was real to be. No doubt. A word is born. Word is born. Say around 3:30. So let me ask you this.
Can't get enough of those low piano notes.
Let me ask you this. Can the order eventually be shifted once more songs are moved in?
Oh yeah, this is not final.
Okay. There's a total possibility where like "Steal My Sunshine" is like number three, maybe even number two.
Okay. Then I think that I'm willing to concede where Dan is. I think "Steal My Sunshine" should be number
Sarah
two.
Will Sarah McLachlan's "When She Loved Me" knock it down five pegs? Absolutely. But until that point in time.
Because I could see both directions. The only reason why I lean more No Diggity than Steal My Sunshine is because, I mean, No Diggity has words that mean things, and Steal My Sunshine foregoes that for words that
Sal
don't
has
mean
butter
things.
Tarts on the menu.
He does have butter tarts.
They're a real thing.
There's a man in a wrestling mask on that album cover. He's part
there
of the
is.
Band.
He is part of the band. There's but a everybody's a There's part a of the band. That's what I learned about Lynn is literally anybody can be part of the band.
They have somebody that is just the dancer on stage.
Right. Like, I get it. I'm in. All right, I'll concede.
So
we're saying in number four, DJ Got Us Falling in Love. In number three, Steal My Sunshine. In number two, No Diggity. And in number one, I'm Your Man.
When we get another Lynn song on this list, I'll fight real hard for them.
We should probably get out of here. I mean, I feel like we've been hogging the table for a solid hour and a half, and they got to turn
this
table.
This All diner right. closed 7 hours ago.
Well,
get the fuck out.
Well, hey, before you leave, Jesse, I heard you want to talk about poop music.
Talk about poop music.
So folks, as we've hit the end of the show here, we've been talking about all these songs that we really, really like. And so now it's time for a segment where Jesse Knowles will get 1 minute to.
Oh no, 30 seconds, rant. 30 seconds, 30 seconds,
30 seconds. I feel like a solid minute.
Can rant for a minute, go for it. Fine. Let's
I think
go.
That's part of the part of the challenge is a minute. Jesse is our contestant this week. He will now have 1 minute to rail against any song he absolutely loathes. This is Jesse Knowles' 1 minute. Now that's what I call poop music. His time begins now.
And I started.
All right. Listen here, Steve Miller Band. Look.
Holy shit.
Let him rant. He's got 48 seconds.
You can't make a song called Abracadabra.
Oh my god.
And have the song lyrics be round and round and round we go, where we stop nobody knows. Abra, abracadabra, I'm gonna reach out and grab you. What the fuck are you talking about? Are you a ghost? What the fuck are you talking about? What is this song? Who wrote this? Fucking bullshit song. I cannot believe just because it's some big name like Steve Miller Band, they can just write out whatever kind of bullshit and people are like, oh yeah, this is pretty good. I like this. It's just like them.
Man,
stop. Song
was written
in 5 seconds.
Okay, can I respond? Can I respond?
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Rebuttal.
Go ahead.
You have a 15-second rebuttal.
All right.
And
all right. Go ahead.
Go.
Sometimes songs are written specifically to be at carnivals. Okay. Sometimes they are on the spinny rides that whirl around real fast, and that's just what they're meant to be. And yes, Steve Millard Band does have the ability to have whatever they write be declared good. It's stop. Just a fact. They've earned it.
Stop.
Stop it. Stop it.
My rebuttal. Ready?
Colin has 5 seconds, and his time starts now.
I think it's a good song. It was on Sabrina Teenage Witch soundtrack, and I kind of like the Sugar Ray version of it.
That's
okay. All right.
I got 5 seconds. Right, I got 5 seconds. Right. That was it.
Now here's my 1 second rebuttal.
Okay.
Steve Miller Band. Steve Miller Band.
Folks, you've been listening to Setlist in Seattle. It is the only podcast recorded in a diner in Seattle. Of course, thank you to Turntables Diner for hosting us this week, and hopefully every week, assuming Jesse gets on Sal's good side.
We love you, Sal.
Please do not mess this up for us, man.
We love you, Sal.
They
do.
You know, you guys, other people like to use the jukebox.
Yeah, but then they're like, just going to play like Tom Jones and shit.
Yeah, fuck Tom Jones.
Yeah, fuck Tom Jones.
Yeah, fuck Tom Jones. All right,
there we go.
Can I wait? Can I do my promo?
Yeah, Sal.
Because you said I could do a promo in the email. I got a promo. Hey, come on down to. Oh, hold on. Come on down to Turntables Diner, 2160 First Ave, Seattle, Washington. We got the best. The best pie this side of the Puget Sound. Order online for curbside pickup at turntables-diner.square-site.biz. Use coupon code EGG at checkout, 5% off. That's coupon code EGG. 5% off your order. Curbside pickup only. Egg. I do not like how close you're getting to me.
Oh, my name is Sal. I got the coronavirus.
You can't.
I don't know what that is in this universe. One and two, your breath smells so fucking bad. It's like tuna melt meets garbage.
Thanks, Sal. We'll see you next week, bro.